Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Welcome back to another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. I'm joined by my right-hand man, although he's sitting on my left, Dej. What are you saying to me, brother?
I'm good. Looking forward to this podcast interview. This is someone that I've been speaking to for the last few weeks. Very insightful, very articulate, and very knowledgeable. So I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you for coming on. We're joined by SPL winner, Nigerian international Leon Balogun. Thank you for coming.
Thanks. You even get the applause in here. Oh, of course. Appreciate it. No, thanks for having me.
I was saying off record that you're really looking lean and mean and you're ready to start the new season in good fashion.
Yeah, I've been putting some work in over the past 10-12 weeks. Had to do a bit extra because I was injured at the end of the season, but I guess that's what the Scottish League does to you as well. I remember my first game where some guy, McKenna, I think he's at Nottingham now, he just spun me around and smashed me into the goalpost, and I was like, yo, welcome to Scotland. Yeah, yeah, so this won't happen again, hopefully.
Yeah, so we want to talk about that number 55, winning the league. That was the holy grail for Rangers. Mm-hmm. You know, Celtic had been dominating the league, so now that the dust has settled, how are you feeling that you've won a league?
Oh, to be honest, like in the last few days, I was thinking about it a little bit. And yes, we've won it, but as soon as the new season starts, it's gone. Like, yeah, it's not gone, you know, but we play as the current champion, but we want to get there again. So we've all been saying that we're just getting started now. And I can already tell about myself that I'm thinking, okay, as soon as we start the new season, I can't talk about 55 anymore because we have to go for 56 now. Mm. And that's also what is expected, I think. So I think there comes loads of pressure, but I think we have a team, a really good and high quality team in all aspects, managers, the staff, backroom staff, players, where you can just back it up and everybody will be on the same page, I think.
How difficult was it to stay focused as a team? Because you guys, you know, started off the season in terrific fashion, creating a big gap, you know, earlier on in the season. So how did you guys just maintain the focus? What was Steven Gerrard doing behind the scenes?
I mean, I just joined for that really, really glorious, successful year. So I think they really learned from their mistakes in the past. And I think that's what makes a champion, you know. Mm. You don't dwell on your mistakes, you learn from them. And that's what they did. And they made sure that everybody just gets that into their DNA, even I would say. So, I don't know, it didn't even feel so hard to focus. It was just more like, okay, you know what? You take it game by game. and make sure we are the best version of ourselves in every game. That's what he kept telling us. We have to be the best version today. And I think it helps that he's a legend himself. But also the way he treats his players. It's not just him. It's like his, you mentioned Mick Beale, who was the guest here before. Yeah. He does an amazing job. We have TC, Gary McAllister. They all do their parts, you know, in the way they treat you as a player, as a human being, first and foremost. That's what I think they really do understand. They understand how to manage their players. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what, I wouldn't say that made it easy for us, but it made it easier, definitely, because especially the manager, Steven Gerrard, is just like, sometimes it feels like he's just a pal, you know, one of your teammates, and he has the banter with you and all of that. But he just knows how to switch. He didn't even have to scream at us. It's like the, I think, who was it? What's his name? Peter Crouch said it. Sometimes he just has to give you that look. And you know, okay, now you're not going to mess this up now, because you don't want to get that look, you know. You don't want to be the one. So, no, it's been amazing, amazing experience with them. Just like the way they set standards, the way they demand standards, but in a way where you just feel like, you know what, I can do that. They give you the confidence and back you, really. Like, it's been amazing. I cannot say it one bad word, actually. It's been fantastic.
So how has it been in terms of mentally? Because you've been at clubs that, no disrespect to them, they've struggled.
Yeah.
You know, Mainz, where just staying up is a result. Brighton, staying in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. But Rangers, it's a club where if you draw, it's a bad result. Yeah. So how did you flick that switch?
The thing is, I think I was prepared by the Nigerian national team, because as you know, the Nigerian fans are very, very demanding themselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been sitting in a bus after, well, that was actually the Sierra Leone game. I don't know if you remember. We've been winning 4-1.
Then it came back. Again,
we drew 4-4, which was madness. So after that game, we still got the draw, you know. It's bad, yeah, but we didn't lose. And well, there were some bricks flying against the bus afterwards. That was a bit scary. So yeah, we're coming back to Rangers. Oh no, I forgot the question, actually.
Yeah, the mindset. Sweet.
The mindset. Yeah. True. I've actually been enjoying it a lot, you know. I said to a few of my peers and also to some of the players, I wish I would have been in an environment like that before, because it just gets something out of you that has just, or for me personally, it has been hidden there, like this competitiveness. It just gets taken to another level. And you see everybody doing their bits, doing the extras in the gym, on the pitch, and you just want to make sure that you are in there, you know. You don't want to let anyone down. You want to make sure that you can level that or even top it. So the fact that you actually play then for something as well,
yeah,
that you can grab, you know, it's not just, okay, another year of Bundesliga or another year of Premier League. It's like you really play for the glory. That within itself is just so much fuel, you know, for your own motivation and everything. So I've enjoyed it a lot, you know. And just to look and say, okay, if we win that game, that other team, well, it's 9 points, then it's 12 points.
Yeah.
It was just enjoyable, really, really enjoyable. So it wasn't too much of a challenge, actually. It's kind of similar because the pressure is the same. I mean, if you want to maintain the league, it's also loads of pressure, mm-hmm. because there's jobs tied to that as well, you know. Because the budget then goes down and all these kind of things. So, yeah. It's nice to now experience the opposite, you know. And also for the first time in my career at an advanced footballer's age, I think.
But you're not advanced. When I looked at your appearances, you're still, you know, there's not that much tread on the tire, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I'm a model 88, so I'm running out of fashion, I think. But still, I think I'm in a good shape. I'm pretty confident that I have a few more years in me, and I feel fit. I feel great. So it's definitely not the most common thing, I think, at this age of your career, if you have not been playing at a certain level before, to compete for trophies. Yeah. So
How was it when you got that call? Because you're at Wigan, or you just finished the spell at Wigan. Yeah. Stevie G calls your phone and says, Leon, like, I want you to join. How does that feel?
It was crazy, because my agent, I think, I was on the way back home from a Wigan match. I don't know who we played. We had won. I don't know if it was the whole City game. No, it wasn't. It was before that. But we had just won. And my agent calls me and says, yeah, well, I have a kind of an interesting one. I have a good one and have a really interesting one if you ask me, because my agent's English as well. So he said, I can't even remember the other team. And he said, okay. Rangers. And at first, my first thought wasn't even directed towards Rangers. It was more like Scotland. Because, okay, I'm not stepping on anyone's toes if I say it's not the most popular league in the world, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, are you going to do that? And they said, yeah, well, just think about it, but because it's a massive club, and obviously my agent is a huge fan of Steven Gerrard. So he said, yeah. he always tells me he's the most complete footballer ever to ever play the game.
Wow.
Because he could play every position just as good as anyone else, or even better, you know? So he loves him, clearly. And I thought about it and then slept a night over it. And I was like, wow. And then I just realized, wait, Rangers. Like, I have this little story about it as well with my very good friend, my childhood friend. We used to go to like one of those sport zone shops and check all those nice...
Oh, like a sports direct in this country.
Yeah. So like back home in Berlin back then, yeah. When we were like 8 years old, we went there once or twice a week just to look at all the jerseys. We couldn't afford them back then, but we just dreamed of wearing them one day. So we just look at them, and then you know what? Let's wait for this birthday money, and then I'm gonna get a bit of my pocket money, like my allowance.
Then I can buy that kit,
you know.
Calculating.
And he introduced me to the Rangers kit back then, and I remember the logo. And because Jörg Alberts, he used to play there, the German guy, the Hammer, I think they called him. So that's how I got in touch with them first. So there was even kind of a personal note to that. Mm-hmm. And the longer I thought about it, the more I was like, yes, I'm going to do it. And then, I said, okay, called him, said I'm up for it. And then they wanted to get this over the line really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, I just had to go into my bedroom. I was living in Manchester at the time.
Yeah.
Because then I had a phone call or a FaceTime call with Stevie G.
Ooh, and, what was that like, and
Russ
man?
Wilson. First thing I said to him, look, before we talk about anything else, I got to take my little fan moment here because it's Stevie G. I'm really honored to speak to you. And he was just laughing. Russ Wilson, he was also just laughing. And took it from there, really talked about it. He told me that he really believes in the qualities that I have and he thinks that can really put the team forward, also with my experience on international level. And they were really keen to do it, you know. So he then, after that, I think the following week, I think he called me again and we had that game against Hull City. We beat them 8-0, I think, with Wigan. And he texted me after, because I didn't have his number before, and he just texted me. Yeah, here's my number, man. Just Stevie G at the end. And I think even with a little wink, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, Stevie G's on my WhatsApp. that was amazing. And then I actually sent a screenshot to one of my best friends. He was like, no way, bro.
Crazy.
Is this for real? I said, yeah, bro, look at the profile picture.
We've had them.
It's just like, wow. And then, we had a few more phone calls. And no, but he really, like, it was really comforting the way they were trying to get me over there. And then, signed a deal pretty quick after that.
So I just want to fast forward a bit. You guys win the SPL, and I know Steven Gerrard, he wants to have an invincible season because he sets the standard very, very high. How did you maintain the focus? Because we've seen teams win the league in terrific fashion, and after they win the league, there's a physical and a mental drop-off. But with Steven Gerrard, I know he expects the top every single game. So how did you guys just maintain the standard?
I told you about that look before. No, but you know what? The thing
was
is...
Did he put pressure on the players to go unbeaten, or enjoy the football?
No, the thing is, he didn't put pressure on. He just said, guys, look what you can achieve here. Mm. And that's why also I think the whole team had this little bit of a bitter taste because we didn't win any of the cups, because there was a, you call it triple or treble?
Treble. Yeah.
There was a treble, you know, to grab that season. And I think in this season it was easier as ever before, and we didn't get there. But even in the disappointment, like, as I said, he did not scream. He did not actually, like, because he's disappointed as well. And he pretty much just said, guys, you can make history. Winning the title is one thing, but going to history as an invincible, there's not many that can say that, you know? And let's just go for it. And I think, as I said, I'm only here at Rangers for a year. There have been players he's been working with for 2 years, 3 years already. So they all have that kind of bond already and the understanding for each other. So it's just something like, you're like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's get this together. And the staff as well, they were pushing for it. And they were motivating us rather than putting pressure on us. They were saying like, look, it's there for the grab. Clean sheet record, least goals conceded record, invincible, all these kind of things. And everybody was, that alone, if this is not motivation enough,
or is
like, then maybe you're not in the right place as well, you know. So he didn't have to put a lot of pressure. It's just like your own expectation, probably what you want to achieve, because it's an amazing achievement. And I think it's something, if you can write that down to your name, no one can take it from you. That's one. And also it's just something, there's not many who have achieved it. For example, my favorite player of all time is Thierry Henry. So yeah, he's done it with Arsenal. I'm not going to compare myself to Thierry Henry also, because I'm a defender, but like, he's an invincible. I can call myself something that Thierry Henry has achieved. For me personally, it's like, wow, you know. And I'm sure every other player has his kind of note to that as well.
Yeah, so we mentioned someone before, we spoke on the phone about Mick Beale.
Yeah.
Just talk to us about him, because we spoke to him on the platform, and when you speak to him, he's like a football encyclopedia. The way he breaks it down.
Education.
He's a genius. Seriously, when it comes to football, he's a genius. And also, I mentioned him before, the way, because from my understanding, he worked a lot with like loads of boys in the youth. And you can tell, you know, for example, the way he treats us players, you can tell that he comes from working with young players. We still have a lot of young players, obviously not youths anymore, but he brings that kind of element in the treatment with his players, you know, the way he talks to you.
Compassionate, empathy. Exactly.
Empathy is actually a big word, I think, for the whole managing stuff. That's just, they just understand that, because that's something from my experience in football, not many do understand how important that is, you know, to actually see the human being behind the player. Because yes, we all need to perform, you expect this, blah blah blah, yeah, but there's human beings behind us. So they understand that, and Mick just has that perfect balance between like kind of working with us as if we were still youth players, because we all still need to learn, you know. It doesn't matter if you're 17, if you're 25, if you're 32, it doesn't matter, you can learn every day. And that's what he gets out of us. But at the same time, if he sees you're not working on your level, on your standard, he will also come for you. And that's just he's just balance. Got that perfect balance.
Bad cop, good cop, sort of.
Exactly.
Thing.
Yeah. And without being bad, really, you know?
Yeah.
Because he says something, you're like, oh, but then it doesn't really hurt you, because you know he's right.
Yeah.
And you just say, you know, I will show you that I can do it. And the next thing is, if you do it, then he's like, yeah, much better, son. Like, it's great. And then obviously he's, I've had one, he wasn't really successful as a manager really with the club, as he got sacked as well in Mainz, my last team in Germany. But I thought from his footballing brain and
Schmidt, is that Schmidt?
No, that's Schwarz.
Okay.
He's in Dynamo Moscow now.
Okay, yeah.
I thought he's quite good when it comes to these things, like this kind of Tuchel kind of type, you know?
Okay, they can be hard on you, but...
No, like in terms of the tactics, the way they read the game, they understand the game, the tactics, they want to use all of that, like the complexity of the game, you know? Like, I mean, you have Guardiola, you have Tuchel, those kind of managers. Nagelsmann was going to Bayern. And I think Mick Beer is probably this kind of manager, because the way he thinks, breathes, lives football is... Sometimes, I'm not going to lie, when he does his tactics, I understand, but sometimes he's so quick. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. I have to go through it again and then really deep it and understand it. But no, it's just the way it's so... I think, is the word quick-witted?
Yeah, quick-witted, yeah.
It's fascinating, really. Yeah.
So, so what do you see him going into management eventually?
Well, I hope he stays with us, huh? Because I don't want to play against him. While I do, I don't want to play against him. No, but he's definitely. I think, as I said, they're complementing each other very well, and I think.
So, what's the dynamic in terms of how you know it is on the training pitch? Like, how are the roles between Stevie G and Mick Beer?
And Gary Macca as well.
I think Stevie G and Mick Beer are probably the driving forces most of the time. It's them. Also, if we have tactical walkthroughs, it's those two. Then I mentioned TC, Tom Koso. He's like the defensive specialist. You saw a few of us posting with him or even himself on Instagram, like my defenders, because he does the set plays with us defensively, offensively, this kind of things. Defensive drills. Gary Macca, if you would like to say so, is a bit more for the offensive guys. Mm-hmm. So you have someone for every department, kind of. That's what I said. Like the chemistry and the balance between those four is perfect. Like I wouldn't even, if I were them, I would not change anything about it, because it's like
it's the winning formula.
It's the Fantastic Four, you can say, kind of. Seriously.
I think the final one from me on Rangers is, I want to speak about a fellow Nigerian international that plays for Rangers, Joe Aribo. Wow. How good of a player is he? Because when I'm watching, I'm wild all the time.
I know you like to say baller, fam.
Baller.
Baller. Baller. He's a baller.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a joy to watch him. I remember I was on the stands the other, I don't know who we played. Calvin Bassey is also there, also Nigerian.
Yeah.
And I said, see Nigerian spider.
His legs, his stretchy legs. Yeah.
I've got long legs myself, but his technique, like his finesse is just... Nah, he's smooth, bro. Yeah. Seriously.
Top player.
So good.
Yeah.
Good finishing, good passing. His 1v1 is it's disgusting. So I face him sometimes in training. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, has he made you? Has he made you shake and bake?
Be honest. I'm never going to lie. I can't remember actually that he's done me dirty. Really. He might have. You know what? He might have. But I can't, like, he definitely had me like, not on skates, but it's just like,
yeah, wow, man, this is. I'm gonna sleep after this.
I remember one. He megs me, and he went past, and I just raised my legs.
Not today.
And he was like, "Hey, Leo, what you doing, man?" I was, "Bro,
just have to."
Yeah, man.
No chance. But no, who caused me real problems in training every now and then is Ryan Kent. He's a
wing wizard.
Oh my god, he's a problem. There's this one goal, think against Hamilton, where he just turns that defender, he's just like
inside
dropping
out,
the shoulder, dropping it again, takes it over, and the guy, he doesn't know where he is. So, no, we have a few of them, but Joel, he's quality, seriously, very enjoyable. I think also as a in the Super Eagles, he will have a big future.
Career. Yeah,
just needs to, if he recently he played as a six, but I think if he gets an opportunity to play more in our system as a 10, just like in Brazil game, I think that was his first game.
Bola.
Yeah.
Finally, before we move off Rangers, I want to talk about, obviously we've spoken about the good win in the league. Mm-hmm. There was an unsavoury incident this season involving your teammate Glenn Kamara.
Another baller, by the way.
Oh, he's a baller.
Smooth criminal, you know.
He's been killing it for Finland this tournament. Yeah, so he was obviously involved in he was racially abused. Let's just call it how it is. What's your recollection of that event? Because there was a whole lot of noise coming out. Obviously, he was racially abused after the game. Apparently, you know, everyone got down and dirty behind the scenes kind of thing. So what happened?
Well, what I can tell you is that was the day I fell in love, like, with Rangers 100%. I loved my time at the club before already, but that was where I said, you know what,
you've got my heart.
No, that's they've got my, literally, like, the way everybody, like, some of the kitchen staff, the physios, head of, like, everyone, the managing staff, everybody, the board members, the club boss, everybody was, everyone came down there and said, you know what, guys, we've got your back.
Yeah, that's great to see.
And they came to me, but first and foremost, they moved, they went to Glenn, but all the players where they know, okay, they've
been impacted,
like,
by,
if they've, exactly, like, who have, like, I don't know, with how do I say that, mixed race, black players, yeah, all of us pretty much, they was like, you know what, we can never understand what this feels like to you, especially right now for Glenn, but we don't understand it, we don't appreciate that, but we've got your back no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. We're here for you, and if you need anything, just let us know. And that was just like, wow, because I don't think this is very common. I don't know, I don't want to blame or shame any club, but this is the first time I've experienced something like that.
For me, when Steven Gerrard came out after press the game,
yeah,
and said, Glenn Kamara, he's one of my own, he's, yeah, been racially abused,
yeah,
I believe him implicitly. I'm a Liverpool fan, and I hold Steven Gerrard like this. Yeah. After that conference, I held him like this. That was true leadership.
I had the same thing when I've seen that, because it's just like, wow. You know, because you feel like you have this big figure there, and he says, you know what, no matter what you're going to throw that boy's way or my team's way, it's not going to get past me. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, you have this, I mentioned the bond before, you know, it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm alone with this, but I would be surprised, actually, it's almost sometimes you see him as a friend, kind of, like, mm-hmm, he's a protector. And I think that's how he played, and I think that's how he is as a manager as well. He's just, we are his family, and he will do what he has to do to protect us. And I mean, in that case, it was obvious, and the overwhelming thing, which was not visible in the press conference, is that the whole club kind of showed that, they showed this kind of support, and that was how they won me over, like, completely. Like, that was just out of this league.
No, that's amazing to hear. So we're going to move on to your time at Brighton. I know you played under Chris Hughton and Graham Potter. I want to talk about Graham Potter, because he's a man that's always linked, or, you know, rumoured to be linked with some of the top jobs in England. Mm-hmm. He's a potential candidate to take over as, you know, the successor to Gareth Southgate when he eventually leaves. His name is being thrown.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he's a player that's always been, I mean, a manager that's always been amongst those, yeah, names. I think some rumours linked him with Tottenham previously. What's your feeling towards Graham Potter? Because from the outside looking in,
yeah,
I think he's a terrific coach when it comes to teaching football.
Mm-hmm.
He plays football the right way. How was it, working under him?
I would agree with you on that level, definitely. You can see his handwriting on the team. Ever since he came, he transformed them, and they did not really bring the results. Mm-hmm. Some people might probably claim, yeah, maybe he doesn't have the right players. I don't think it's the players necessarily. Maybe to a certain extent, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, as a footballing coach, 100%, he's a good manager. Like, I could see that from the start, the way he wants to play football, the way he wants to, like, possession-based. That's really nice. Personally, my experience with him has not been the best on a, I don't want to say on a human level, but, like,
connection.
Yeah, well, there wasn't really one, I would say.
So what do you mean by that? Because we've spoken to players before, and they'll say, "Yeah, fantastic on the training pitch," but when it comes to human interaction, it's sometimes it may be missing, and we saw that with, you know, when we interviewed Yannick Bolasie, like, he's doing all he can on the training pitch, but the hierarchy has said, you know what, you're blacklisted, you're not playing, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel like I got a chance at all. I think it's fair to say that, because I had a conversation before I left the club where I was quite frank with him, I think, without being disrespectful. So Yeah, I mean, I came there. I came back from the African Cup of Nations. I came back like 10 days prior to the season, I think. It was my second year at Brighton, and came back, spoke to some of the boys, and they were like, yeah, you're going to enjoy it. He plays football. This should help you as well to get more game time, blah, blah. So I was like kind of optimistic. And I came back. I had a talk with him. I had a talk with the sports director, Dan Ashworth. Yeah. And that was really positive. I felt I all I asked for pretty much is just to get fair treatment and like to get a real chance. I know that right now it's tough because I'm coming back 10 days before the season starts. He didn't see much. That's fine, but I will work for my chance, you know. Then I came, I think it was like 5 days before the transfer window closed in England. And it was a Tuesday, I think. I was in London. I came out from dinner with the missus around, I don't know, 8:30 in the evening. Just had lovely dinner, and then my agent calls me and say, yeah, this is how football can go sometimes, eh? I was like, he's going to talk about Brighton. He sounded positive, you know, but he was smiling, but it was more like, in a way, yeah, like,
this is the game.
And then he said, yeah. And he said, so what happened? I thought, okay. He said, maybe I'm going to extend my contract, you know? And then he said, yeah, they say you can go. I was like, wow. And then he told me a bit about it, and that he was surprised as well because he spoke to them. And he also mentioned that I'd said we had really good conversations, and they say, yeah, we had, but this and this. So, for example, I was not told that they're going to bring in another defender when I had my first conversation with them. And I was like, because I told them I'm going to fight for my spot. Just tell me if you don't plan with me, if I'm not going to have any chance, if it's not going to get better than last year, let me know.
And did they give you granularity over the situation? Did they clarify?
They did not tell me that they're actually in the middle of signing another defender for, what, £20 million or something?
Is that Webster?
Yeah.
Webster,
so obviously, if you're going to buy another defender for £20 million, you're not going to sit him on the bench or on the stands. So I was like, wow. And I had like, I think I had like 1.5 days left to make a decision whether I would go on loan to, I don't know, it was Nottingham or Wigan at the time. Mm-hmm. But it was not enough time for me in that moment to make a decision. So I said, no, you know, I'm going to stay. I'm going to see, going to convince him more or less. But then fast forward, like through the following month, I didn't really get a chance. I played one cup game where I did well, but then I don't know. Then I was, no, nothing really came up, you know.
And then, so what do you think it was? Because on the face of it, as we mentioned, Graham Potter, he likes to play football.
Yeah.
Brighton's two centre backs at the time, Dunk, Duffy. Mm-hmm. Let's be real, they're like traditional food and drink defenders, headers and stuff like that. Obviously, you can't say that. I'll say. So, you know, and you like to play. You can bring the ball out of the back. Yeah. So that should have married up and worked. So why don't you think your face fitted at the club?
I have no idea. I can't tell you, really. I really can't tell you. I think you have to be fair to Dunkey because so, I think he's got ball playing ability as well. Duffy, without trying to shame him, but he knows that we spoke about it personally. He's not the kind of player who's comfortable with like the ball in his feet too much, you know. This is, for example, one aspect I understand with Chris Hughton. He liked the way we play. We set quite deep, you know. It wasn't possession based, so playing me maybe was more of a risk. So I got that under the new manager Potter. Then that's why I actually thought, okay, I might be able, you know, to change that a little bit.
So when they brought you to the club, did they say, we want you to be like a first choice centre back, or you're coming as cover?
No, it was as cover, but if I get to play and I do my job well, then there's a possibility to kind of, but then again, it's football, you know. Mm-hmm. They tell you what they need to tell you in order to make you sign. But for me, yeah, I always wanted to go to the Prem, and I said, you know what, I'm going to show them that I'm a first choice centre back. So I thought in my second year with that new manager, chances are going to go up, you know. And even my agent was like, nah, in the beginning, I was like, maybe we should look for some options. He said, no, it's going to be fine. I heard loads about their manager, blah, 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 all good. So then that happened. And there was, I think, middle of August probably, end of August. So over the following months, I made one game in the cup. I don't know, I made the bench, I don't know, maybe four or five times, not much. And then the worst actually was we played another cup game. Started with a back three. I was the right center half. Then after 10 minutes, we changed into a back four. So I had to play right fullback. Yeah. I think I didn't done well there. Even we played Sheffield Wednesday. And in halftime, I get subbed off. And it's Shane Duffy playing. And I think Adam Webster playing. And Adam Webster had made almost every Premier League game until that point. So it was a cup game against the championship side. So I thought, you know what? Why take me off? Yeah. Take him off. Let me play my natural position and take... It was Galgo Izquierdo. Not Izquierdo. I don't even know his proper name.
Johan Bahash or something.
No, it was Galgo. His name is Argentinian.
Okay, yeah.
He was moved up in the first half to like a right midfield position, and he dragged him back to right fullback, and he put me out. So yeah, and that for me was like kind of the point was, you know what, fuck it, I'm done here. Like, what the heck is that? And we played West Ham then. It was deadline day, and we only had two fit centre halves, and I wouldn't be picked to come with the team to London. Wow. So that was for me.
So that's what I wanted to ask. What happens behind the scenes? Because we'll see Graham Potter, he will say maybe Leon's not training well enough, or, you know, I'm picking, you know, the 18 that I feel is the best 18 for the squad. Like, what kind of things happen behind the scenes? Because we never hear from the players.
The thing is, I had a conversation after that weekend with him because I was really disappointed and I was angry. And I pretty much just told him that I feel like you robbed me of a chance here, you know, to just show you what I'm really about. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. He ended up saying that he thinks every other defender in this club is better than me. So I said, okay, you know what? That's fine. That's honest. I can work with that. But that's what I've asked for 6 months ago.
But is that the best way to treat a player?
I'm going
to
tell you something. And that's also a thing with the players. Sometimes, because players are used to like always getting... or being told how great they are. Oh, you've done this, you've done that. Yeah, but you're not always perfect. You're not always great, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and you need to know what you're working with and who you're working with. So I prefer someone to just tell me, you know what, Leon? Do this. Or don't do that. Or I don't like this, I don't like that. Or I don't like you, the way you play. Because then at least I know, okay, I can now work with it. And then maybe I have to find another club. I have to change the way I'm playing whatsoever. But if I'm being told, no, you're good, this, blah, 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 just be patient, then I think, okay, what I'm doing is all right. I just need to wait for the right moment. Mm. But if this is not the truth, then even if it's ugly, I will never know when my moment is... I won't know that my moment will never come because maybe the guy just doesn't like the way I play, or he just thinks I'm, well, not good enough. So if you tell me that straight, I prefer that. Just be honest, you know, because then we can all move on.
And we were talking about empathy, and that's something Mick Bill has, and maybe this situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the feeling like they will tell you, you know.
Yeah.
They will pull you to the side. And again, I'm not trying to make Graham Potter look bad, but that's just how it was between me and him. And that's then the moment where that was my moment of clarity, if you like to say so, because... that's what happened pretty much.
Yeah, there's a teammate at Brighton that you've got, Yves Bissouma.
Yeah.
He's someone that's been catching the headlines. Like, how good is he? Because he's being linked, you know, as a Gini Wijnaldum replacement for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Arsenal are being linked with him. Do you think he's ready to make that next step towards that Champions League and Europa League teams?
Probably he was already a long time ago. I think... and again, I don't want to...
the Brighton fans are not going to fight you.
But the thing is, I was always very honest with these things. Now with the way Graham Potter plays, it's better for him. But just if you just look at his potential, he can go places, you know? And I think he's a blessing for Brighton. But if you love football And if you love to see gifted players, you should wish for him to
play at the top level, be able to
make the next step. Mm. That's what I'm saying, because and the thing is, the way he plays right now, you don't even see what he can do. Like, you don't even see everything. He can do so much more. Because the things he did in training sometimes, he didn't even tie his shoelaces. And he had everybody on skates.
He's so powerful. What do you classify him as? Is he a defensive midfielder? Is he a centre like midfielder? An eight.
Yeah. And he grew into the role of a six, I think, where he played at Brighton. But he's more of an attacking midfielder. Okay. 100%.
I see him as an eight as well. Yeah.
So you think he can add goals to his game as well and make those assists?
He scored a few screamers.
Yeah.
So when he connects.
The thing is, look at him, the way he played at Lille, where he came from. Was it? Yeah, I think he came from Lille. Yeah, he came from Lille. If you look the way he played, and I remember when I spoke to him, Leon, I need to play. I want to play, you know. With this French accent, like link up, play, blah, blah. He's a joy to watch. Yeah. I've just seen his Instagram story the other day where he's back in Ivory Coast and he just does these flicks, head, shoulder, shoulder.
So you're going to say head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Maybe that's what I thought of. No, but and he does things with such an ease, you know, the way he beats players. It's just, he's incredible. He's a really, really gifted player.
So what, Champions League player, you think?
He can play that 100%. Yeah.
So let's move on to the Super Eagles. I know probably when you're with the camp, there's so much fun. I saw a video on social media the other day where all the national team were singing Iwobi, Senior Man, Kelechi and Nacho. You know, so how is the vibe there?
Nigeria's always good vibes. Always. Always. So it's loads of singing, banter.
Loads of dancing. Who's the best dancer? I thought you were going to say yourself.
No. Leo looks a bit...
No, don't do things with it. There's some moves hidden in this body, but I haven't been... I used to be into dancing like crazy, but not so much anymore. But if I dedicate myself a little bit to it, then no worries. I could come up with it. I would say Chido Ziawaziam, probably.
Okay.
He's always up with all the new moves. Mm. And he's always he's going into it also. Mm. Like, really hard, always. Mm. I would say him, yeah. We had John Ogu before. He's not currently, but...
How was he for the camp? Because I heard that he was brilliant for the Nigeria camp.
John Ogu, yeah. Yeah, because he's like... Everybody likes him pretty much, you know, and he's just making sure everybody's like in a good mood, everybody's getting along with each other. But normally, no, the camp is always nice. For me, I must be very honest, because I grew up in Germany. I didn't have too much of Nigerian culture around me. So sometimes there was a bit of a clash.
Okay, but between like the London Nigers, because you got Ola,
Ali. No, that's with them it's perfectly fine, but it's more with the mentality probably of certain things. So I had to get used, and it took me quite some time to get used to it. Because, you know, in Germany, that's where I grew up, everything is always very strict and disciplined. So certain things were for me like, okay. But not in a bad way. Just took
I'm sure
that
the hotel rooms were vibing onto midnight.
It's not so much anymore. But I remember we had a camp once in Luxembourg or something. I've tried to sleep, and then 2 a.m. in the morning, bro, in the hallway, somebody was banging his music out of the speaker. You know, I was like,
Burner Boy. What's wrong?
Whiskey.
Burner Boy wasn't that hot back then. Ooh. It was, I don't know. But it was definitely
One Day Call or something.
Something like Ali or something. But, oh my God. I was like, yo, when will this ever stop, you know? But no, that's calm. No, I really enjoy my time there always. And it's a blessing as well. Because the way Super Eagles are connected with the fans, especially if you look at the political situation in Nigeria, that's really that one, football is really that one thing that seems to unite the whole together. Nation, you know? Yeah. So it comes with a big responsibility as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say this justifies throwing bricks at the bus, but I can see how the disappointment is even bigger if we are failing to bring them joy, even though I don't like to say fail, because we're all just human beings, and I think in football this gets forgotten a lot, you know. But yeah, that's how it is, and you just move on. You learn how to deal with it.
Yeah, in Nigeria, there's a lot of pressure, as we spoke about. How do you sort of manage that?
I don't really think about it. I would say it's like you're aware of it, but I'm like, it's not like whatever, but I just don't let it get to me like that. I play there to win. There weren't actually many games where I felt like, oh, I'm scared that we're going to mess up. I remember when we played Cameroon in the qualifiers for the World Cup, I was pretty nervous there because I thought, oh, it's a tough one. And a good team back then, and we just battered them 4-0. Like that. Algeria, same. Battered them 3-1 at home. Then the away game was 1-1, I think. Cameroon, we drew as well, I think. 0-0. Yeah. Obviously, during the World Cup, then played Croatia, played Argentina. But normally, when I play with Nigeria, I'm
just enjoying yourself.
Yeah,
and I'm not really. I'm always pretty confident that we're going to win the games, because I'm like, who's supposed to beat us, you know? Or who's supposed to give us that much trouble? Which now, if you look just recently, maybe it sounds a bit arrogant, but it's not. It's just like how I've been experiencing the Super Eagles, and I've actually never checked that, but there's not too many games I've played with the Super Eagles that I've lost, actually, I think.
No, that's big. I was going to say, around Nigerian football, there's sort of like a lot of politics. You hear about sort of like unpaid bonuses, or the infrastructure, the bad hotel rooms, people having to share rooms, accommodation. Like, what's your thoughts on how, you know, African football, because we're seeing the players in the Premier League, but holistically, how do you think it can improve?
Well, I've been hearing, or we get addressed a lot with speeches of all kinds of people, politicians, sponsors, board members, and you hear a lot of them saying, the next Messi can come from Nigeria, we can have the next big star, and I agree with that 100%, but in order to get there, we need to build a base for that. And this starts probably on academy level, even though I don't feel like I'm qualified to speak about that because I did not grow up there. I'm not really familiar with the situation over there. It's just hearsay or things that I'm being told. And I can only compare it to what I know. So obviously there's a big difference between the academies probably in Nigeria and Germany, and Nigeria and the UK. So, okay, we cannot dismiss the fact that there are different standards and different circumstances given. But I think that's what you need to work on to build for the future. And, well, if you see that the way the accommodation and all these kinds of things, how these, if you compare that, I have a friend who used to play for Ghana. I played with players that play for Ivory Coast. You hear things, you know, you see things on Instagram, and you see how they travel, you see how we travel. And it's just like, if you try to save money on those basic things, you know, which is part of the preparation for a game, the way you travel, the way you sleep, the way you eat, all these kind of things. If you try to save money on that, how are you supposed to generate money from some sort of icon in world football, you know, if you don't make sure that you have laid the foundation for him to become an absolute star in your own country? Because Victor Osimhen, for example, he's a big name right now because he made this move to Napoli. First season maybe did not go the way he wanted because he also had like a difficult injury with his shoulder. He still, I think, had a decent season. But everybody's expecting now. And then you hear about other players and they say, why can they not perform in the Super Eagles? Well, we have to be honest. the infrastructure, the we are not being provided with
the best minerals to do your job.
Exactly. It starts with pitches. Or it starts with accommodation, but it goes on to pitches and all these kind of things. And as I said, I'm always quite outspoken. I know probably if some people hear that from their, they might come after me, but I don't care because that's just how it is. If you say you want to see the next Messi coming out of Nigeria or the next Cristiano Ronaldo or whatsoever, if you want to see us soar, then you need to make sure that back home in Nigeria, we have the best possibilities. Like why don't we have a base in Nigeria where we meet up, like
St. George's Park,
exactly, in England. You don't have something like, we don't really have something like that. And you spoke of the unpaid bonuses, like
I've heard a lot about that. Yeah,
it's like and I mean it's no secret even, you know. And then I've read something recently where then people in charge, they contradict themselves, said things have been paid, then they admit that they haven't been paid. And it's just like, you know what? Everybody's so concerned about the look of Nigeria, and we have to represent Nigeria well, and we cannot embarrass Nigeria. But make sure you're not embarrassing Nigeria with your own actions, you know.
Because did the players like talk about this kind of stuff? Like, what's going on?
I think it's also a matter of, it's a cultural thing also to show respect and these kind of things. Also, that's something where I clash probably, because I'm not afraid to speak my mind, even if it's with the coach or the manager. If I feel like something is wrong, I might at one point just talk about it. And then it's always like, okay, this boy is a troublemaker. I'm not a troublemaker, because at the end of the day, I stand in for my teammates. Mm. I do that with pleasure. And if I have to take the fall, well, I probably did in the past.
That's a leadership.
But
integrity.
And it's always also motivated by personal issues than probably, like, not issues, but by things that I just feel like, you know, I don't feel like I have to deal with this. I should not have to deal with this that way right now, and I don't think any of us should, you know. So yeah, there's loads of work to do.
I think last one before just, you know, a quick fire round. The last one on Nigeria. Let's say you're in a Nigerian restaurant. What is your go-to dish? What's the starter? What's the main?
I will have the start.
Beef soya?
No, I will probably start with some plantain.
Plantain?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I have some pounded yam.
Oh, with heavy.
Egusi.
Of course.
Egusi or how do you like the meat? Beef or what do you want?
Sorted.
What do you want in your egusi?
Beef or, beef, chicken or fish either, actually. My father always...
Fish goes
my,
well.
My father does fish a lot. I don't know how you call that, actually. Like, it's quite firm, right? In
Panla.
Panla.
So, but it's quite chewy. Yeah. It's very aromatic and like...
In Panla.
Yeah.
So, Panla. I only always know the German... How you say it? What kind of fish?
Panla. We call it Panla, yeah.
But you said another word with fish. Because in German, it's like... we say stockfish.
Yeah, it's like a dry fish.
And it's beautiful. It's fantastic. Seriously.
Yeah, so I think
and Nigerian Fanta.
Yeah, I knew you wasn't gonna forget that.
Chapman even.
Yeah.
Sweet. So also, like, you do a lot of initiatives outside of the pitch. You're involved in Common Goal. And even when we spoke, you were talking about charity, like you do a lot of mentoring. Like, why is that so important to you?
I think that's just who I am, probably. Maybe I have this kind of helper syndrome.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I just remember when I was at my first team as a professional, I was 20 back then in Hanover. And that was a bit different from now. You would have more older players than young players. Not so many mid-aged or middle-aged players. And you always felt left behind a little bit, you know. It was just... the mindset back then, probably you had
every man for themselves sort of thing.
Not that really, but you had to put in a lot of work to get respected, you know. And even if you wouldn't play regularly, still you would not get the same kind of respect from the older players, you know. And they were kind of just for themselves, yes. And you were just a young player. Yeah, he's young. Well, he's got to learn. So they were not unfriendly or impolite or something like that. It was just like, it was harder to connect, you know. because they were like, okay, what are you bringing to this team? You know, what have you actually done so far? So me and my friend back then, we always said to ourselves, like, if we are at an advanced age or like a bit older and there are some younger players, we're going to make sure we look after them so they feel comfortable, because that helps them to open up also on the pitch, you know, because if then you feel more confident within the group and that helps you with your performance.
Yeah.
So that was just always something. And then, yeah, whenever I felt like there's a connection between me and a younger player or a player that is not so much involved in the team, I just try to not pick them up really, because they're not always down, but I just try to, you know,
encourage
them, just talk to them, just listen to them and just hear them out. And then
so just a quick fire round. I think me and Deja are probably going to ask two questions each, so I'm going to say, who's the best manager you've worked with?
Yeah, I would have to go for Stevie G. I would say Stevie G and his gang.
Okay.
Best player you've played against?
Messi.
Yeah. That goal that he scored.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
How is it coming up against him? You're just trying to stay away from him?
No. No, actually, I was a bit sad, you know, because he was not playing on my side that day so much. And it's just then it's the competitiveness again. You're just like, okay, he's the best. Mm-hmm. So let me see. Let me test you. So there were a few occasions, I think, once he beat me, like, he tried to get past, I got my leg in between, but it bounced off of his thigh and he kept going on. But then Ndidi and William Ekong were there. So
monsters, they just
said to him, get out of here, mate.
The real power,
get
you know.
Get out of here, mate.
The best player you've played with?
Tough one. I played with some really good. I played with Claudio Pizarro.
Okay. Ooh, the striker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baller. Goal scorer.
Quality. But then I didn't really play with him, because when I joined that team, he moved to Real Madrid after 2 weeks. That was Mesut Ozil. He was amazing.
Okay,
as
well.
Mm-hmm. But Pizarro is always the first one that comes to my mind, because, well, not just because he played that long, but also like his quality, his work ethic, everything. There was always, even in training, like, he would just do like regular things, but
the simple things.
Out of nowhere, boom! Some touch of genius just came out of nowhere. Like,
how did he do that?
Dead. So, biggest challenge of being a professional footballer?
Oof. Being away from home and family. Like, for me personally, it's 13 years now that I'm not living at home anymore. And this is something I think loads of people, they don't see it. They always see, I don't know, we drive fancy cars.
Money.
Yeah, all these kind of things that also you need to understand, not every player who becomes a professional player automatically is like done and dusted, you know. It's just not real. It's just not true. That's an illusion.
But
being away from us 13 years now, the amounts of celebrations, birthdays, like special occasions I've missed on is massive.
And do you have a final message to the Rangers fans ahead of the new season?
I hate these things. but actually I do have one, which is simply, I cannot wait to meet you, because I didn't have this privilege so far because of the worldwide circumstances, but I cannot wait to finally meet you at Ibrox, hopefully sold out if the dear politicians allow it.
As the defending champions.
And I watched I listened to an interview where you said, and you were at Wigan at this time, and you said you've got a dream to play in the Champions League and to play in another World Cup. Mm-hmm. It looks like you're going to be...
Was that at Wigan?
Yeah, you were just in the back of Wigan, so you're speaking these things into existence.
I thought it was actually when I came back from the African Cup of Nations, when I got back to Brighton. Done your research.
Yeah.
So I know, because I said Champions League does not sound really realistic at this point. But yeah, I set this actually. That's also how I know that we're going to play Champions League, because
yeah,
it's the way is paved already. Mm-hmm. You just have to walk yeah. on it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. Obviously, there's work to do in order mm-hmm. to get there, but I'm pretty confident we're going to make that.
So what about expectations for AFCON? Because obviously we're Nigerian. We want to win that thing. We've got a talented mm-hmm. squad. You know, great spine in Didi, yourself, mm-hmm. Olaena, Iwobi, Osimhen, Terem Moffi, loads of talent. So do you think that we've got a realistic chance of winning it, hopefully in January?
I think we should always, or I think actually Nigeria always has a realistic chance, because we are still one of the best teams in Africa. But then again, the competition does not sleep. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down again to the basics. How well is the foundation that is being laid for us to get there?
Yeah.
Preparation, how are we going to prepare? How are we going to travel? Where we're going to like all these kind of things, you know, that are so given over here. How well can we, not copy that, but how well or how close can we come to that to make sure that we are prepared in the best possible way?
I think that's an amazing place to leave it. Leon, it's been an absolute
pleasure
to have you on the platform. So thank you very much for coming on. We're going to wrap it up there, guys. That's another episode of the Beautiful Game podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the like button below. And we will see you next time. Peace.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.